Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we'd like to say that it is a privilege to be able to share the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ with you. And before I begin this class, I would just like to ask real quickly those two questions that I would like to ask before every class, because I never know who's watching the videos or listening to the audios. And these questions, they are of extreme importance in the purpose for our soul. Our class, the name of our class is the purpose for the soul, and far beyond a class, far beyond a lesson, greater than just a teaching, our soul was created of God with one purpose, and that is the appearing of His Son. And we can learn and study the Scriptures, but if we are not coming to that purpose, then everything we do is in vain. We're actually not in purpose at all. So, with those two questions, the first one being, are you born again? And if you are not born again, then you have not actually come to the purpose of God. When one is born again, well, if you're not born again, you must be born again. Point blank, you must be born again. When one is born again, life appears, Christ appears where He was not before. If you're not born again, Christ is not in you. There is no life in you. I know you can say, well, yes, I can breathe, I can walk around, I have a mind, or you could even quote the philosophers, I think, therefore I am. Well, you can do all that stuff, but if you are not born again, you have no life in you. Christ is life. And if you're born again, you know exactly what I mean. Because it is not an intellectual thing. This is not something intellectual. Alright? So, when one's born again, life appears where there was no life before. Now, the second question that I have is, if you are born again, do you know the life that you have been birthed of? Are you knowing the very indwelling Christ who is resident within your soul? And you may say, well, yes, of course, I study the Scriptures. I go to Sunday school. I go to Wednesday evening services. I go to Sunday morning services. You could even say I go to Bible school, or I read these books, or I listen to these tapes, these CDs, or I watch these videos. Well, all that is external from without. All that is a learning about. Okay? The learning of Christ, the knowing of Christ, only comes when the Father reveals Him. When the soul sees the indwelling Christ, when Christ is revealed, then we know. And we saw this spiritual order in a previous class in the Gospel of Luke. I think it's chapter 24. I'm not sure exactly what verse it was, but it said that their eyes were holden that they could not know Him. The two disciples on the road to I think it was the Emmaus Road, they did not know the Lord because their eyes were holden. And then later on, when you read the whole account right there, it says, and then Jesus took the bread, broke it, and then it says, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him. Well, there it was a seeing and knowing from without, from afar. They were not yet born again, but it is a spiritual order. The order of knowing. And for the born-again believer, until the heart turns unto the Lord, there remains a veil upon the heart. We cannot know because we do not see. The moment the heart turns unto the Lord, we've looked at this passage several times, hundreds of times throughout these classes, throughout this whole series of classes, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when the heart turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all beholding, we all whose hearts are turned, we all in Christ, Paul was saying, we all in Christ whose hearts are turned unto the Lord are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. All right. So the thing is, as we've also seen in a previous class, it is the beginning of the appearing of Christ, which is a new birth, and the continuing of that very appearing, the continuing of the heart to continue to turn. The Holy Spirit has one dealing. He deals with our hearts, that they would turn unto the Lord. Turn unto the Lord. It's the same dealing. He doesn't change his dealing. The dealing is always the same. Right? Now, just in regard to our class, I was thinking how that in all the classes that we've done so far, and I think they're about 12 or 13, right around there, there's really been no reference to sin or the sin issue at all. And why should there be? With God's purpose for the soul, in His mind, it's one purpose, the appearing of His Son. The purpose for humanity is not sin-related. Okay? The sin issue was taken care of in the cross, that man may come unto purpose. But the purpose was not revolving around sin at all, in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Okay? The Father has, and will always have, and continually has, and has always had, His Son in view. Nothing less than His Son. Okay? Just His Son. To bring man unto purpose would be to bring man unto Christ. And Christ, therefore, being birthed in the soul of man, one being born again, that soul is now brought unto purpose. Christ has appeared. They are brought, they have begun in purpose. The thing is to continue in purpose. But with just thinking about that, I did look at some verses, and I'd like for us to just go over them a little bit. And I did look at some different, I guess one of them was a theological word book of the Old Testament. Some different terms also I looked at. And my notes may be a little bit out of order, but that's all right. Anyway, I would like to just have us turn to Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. We'll be going to the board with our diagram in just a second. But I'd like to just read that. And I have a title here, Without Reference to Sin. Because God's purpose is without reference to sin. The purpose for the soul is without reference to sin. All right? This is verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, henceforth, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin, or justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's the whole passage right there. And I just wanted to look at a couple of things. I'm not sure if I want to go to the board yet. Yes, I do. I do. Go ahead and take my Bible because I do have some verses. I have a diagram up here on our board. And I've got a couple of verses that I do want to look at as well. And here we have the eternal cross, okay, the eternal cross of Christ. Here we have the manifestation of that cross. When Jesus walked on the earth, He came to the cross. The cross appeared in time, right, but is above time, outside of time. And I just, real quick, overview of this diagram. This little square represents Adam, the whole creation that is under sin, you know. And this circle right here in our diagram, this is Christ. This He has come from above. Adam is from beneath. From beneath, okay? So, here Christ crucified, when He was crucified, he took in himself. Therefore, we thus judge that if one died for all, all died within. He took within himself this whole humanity, this whole creation, this whole nature, this whole man into himself. I think the passage is 2 Corinthians 5:14. I'll go ahead and turn there real quick and read it. Yeah, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. All were seen to be dead. All are dead. Right here. You see the exact same testimony in Genesis with the whole, the Passover lamb right there with Israel coming out of Egypt. And when they have the Passover lamb, when the lamb is killed, you have, Pharaoh and his people of the land declaring, "We be dead." That's their declaration, dead, okay? So here we have Christ. He is crucified. In him, all are crucified. One died for all, therefore all died. Now he is buried. I've got Romans 6:4 that we just read a while ago in that passage. I want to read that one. And these are just a few scriptures that I grabbed. There are so many more. But I just grabbed these. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Buried. Okay. Here's the death, burial. Now, in the resurrection, see, here's man, humanity in Christ, takes him to the cross, dead, takes him to the burial, buried. In the resurrection, there's only one life that comes forth in the resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life of the resurrection." He didn't come saying, "I do resurrections," or "I am the resurrectioner," or anything like that. I am the resurrection and the life. There's one life that is raised. This life is Christ. The verses that I have, I guess I could have written them on the board, are first in John 11:25, where he is basically talking to, I think it's either Mary or Martha. Let's see, 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." He was talking to Martha. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." How? Because if Christ is his life, he is living. And he goes on to say, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Why? Because my life never dies. Christ does not die. Having died once, he dieth no more. Okay? The other verse that I had was Revelation 1:18. And this is when John's on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus declares unto John, unto him, "Fear not, I am the first and the last," verse 18, "I am he that liveth." In a couple different translations, it says, "I am the living one. I am the one who lives. I am the one. I am the life." Basically meaning, there is no other life but me. There is no other one who lives but me. So here we have it. Brought all unto death, brought all unto the burial, but only one was raised. All remained buried out of sight. That's the exact same order that is seen in Genesis with Abraham, where he says, "Let me buy a plot of land that I may bury my dead out of my sight." He was speaking of Sarah. But that's it. The dead must be buried. It was not considered a good thing not to be buried. All right, so we have it in the in the scriptures. The burial is necessary. Okay, but as I stated also, only one came forth. Only one came forth. Only one lives. This one is Christ himself. Okay, so now back to our Romans 6, 1 through 11. All right. That man of sin, the square that we had on our diagram, dead, buried, never to be seen again. All right. Now, think, when I looked at these passages, here's the verse passage that I thought about, and I'm not going to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through about 4. Seeing then, you're risen with Christ, your life is risen with Christ, set your affection on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let me go ahead and turn there real quick. And when Christ, all right, let's see. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Then it also become evident that you're in him in relationship with him, the glorious relationship, that you are found in this glorious relationship, but only when he appears. Remember, we've covered this verse. In that day, you shall know, K-N-O-W, the big K-N-O-W. You will know, I'm in my Father, you are me, and I am in you. But in that day, we've already covered the day, the evening and the morning were the first day. When light comes, when the morning dawns, when the day appears, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the appearing of Christ as light, when the light appears. So when I was looking at this passage in Romans, that's kind of what I had on the back burner of my mind. All right. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period. Why? Because the life that is risen is not a condemned life. Christ is not condemned. He could not be condemned by the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. The testimony, the law was the testimony of Christ. Remember? John chapter 5, had you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. We already covered it in a previous class. Here comes Moses with the tables of testimony. Here is God the Father through Moses presenting his Son unto Israel. All Israel sees is a list of do's and don'ts. How short we come, how we fall short of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, so there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. I'll just give this example. My life, the life of Jimmy is not condemned. Never, can never be condemned. Why? Because I am born again. My life is Christ, a life that is not condemned, a life that cannot be condemned, a life that has no reproach. But if I do not know him who is my life, then I will not set my affection on that which is above, but on that which is below. And in a sense, necromance, raise up, dig up what the Lord hath put away, what the Lord hath buried. I will go in the ignorance of my heart and try to dig it up and fix it. And as ridiculous as it sounds, that's what the majority of Christendom is stuck in. A vicious loop cycle that they cannot get out. They cannot get out of. Because listen to this example. It's like going to a graveyard, digging up a corpse, and trying to present it to others. Yes, to others. We want to be accepted in the sight of others. Peer pressure, have you heard of that one? And to present it before the Lord. A corpse. Well, yes, we know it stinks. Yes, we know it has no life. Yes, we know it's decaying and rotten and falling apart, but we can kind of patch it up and fix it, wrap it up like a mummy even, you know, keep it together. Don't let it fall apart. Do you see what I'm saying with this example? That is what the Christian religion of man preaches, declares, teaches, and they even give you ways to try to keep this wretched thing going. You know? No. You don't deal with this one. This one is put away of God. It's been put away in the cross. Therefore, we thus judge. If one died for all died. What did Egypt declare? We be dead. The death of the lamb, the death of the Passover lamb, the lamb dies. It is the death of death. I don't have time to go into that in this class, but I did cover it in a previous class that I can't think of at the moment. But if you search our website, you'll find it eventually. But it is the death of death. Death came to an end. That state came to an end. Why? Because that state could never behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That state could never eat of the tree of life. That state had to come to an end. For what reason? That it might come unto its purpose. It was never about the sin issue. Never about the sin issue. It was always God created the soul with one purpose, the appearing of His Son. But you do not pour new wine into an old wineskin. The wineskin will be destroyed and everything will be lost. You put new wine into a new wineskin. It's the parables Jesus was talking about. He spake of Himself. You could even look at it with this parable. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. The Christian religion of man says, brother, sister, you need to die. You need to fall into the ground and die and bring forth much fruit. No. He spake of Himself. Jesus is the corn of wheat. There is only one corn of wheat. You are not the corn of wheat. I'm not the corn of wheat. There is one corn of wheat. That is Christ Himself. Did He die? Yes, He did fall into the ground and He died. Was there an increase? Yes, He is raised in fullness, in increase, the glorified seed. There is an increase. The thing is, the majority of Christendom, we are ignorant of His increase. We are ignorant of His fullness. We are ignorant of the risen Christ. And being born again, we are ignorant of this one who indwells our souls. All right, lacking nothing. So, let me go back to this verse here. There is therefore now no condemnation, period. I threw that in there. To them which are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. And it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I put a little note right there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is known to be. Those who are walking after the Spirit know there is no condemnation in Christ. Those who are walking after the Spirit know who their life is. Those who are walking, remember, walking? Back to John. But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light. Has that verse read? Let me try to find it real quick. I think I may have covered it in a previous class. I just don't want to misquote it. But it is a walking. It's 1 John. One seven? Thank you. Whoops, that was 2:7. Yes, it is. I did quote it right. All right, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light. Brother, sister, you cannot walk except there be light. Till the light appears, till Christ appears, till the Father reveals His Son in you, you sit in darkness. In your heart, you sit in darkness. It is the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of the vain imagination of the heart. But if we walk in the light, so he who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, are knowing that there is no condemnation. walk with no condemnation, knowing that Christ is their life, because Christ is the light of life. Because the light of life hath appeared, the believer walks with no condemnation, knowing it is not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. All right? But that it is a fact, it is a reality of God. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you are born again, you are in Christ because Christ is in you. You are in a union, a relationship of God, a fellowship of God, a communion of God that cannot be broken or disrupted. Because what God hath brought together, let no man put asunder. Let no man destroy, separate. And this is what he was speaking of. He was speaking of the relationship of his Son, that someday, because of the cross, that is that day, all mankind would be able to come into. But see, we misappropriate the scriptures and we bring it down to a down to an earthly level, down to a level of man. We take it out of Christ and we try to apply it to man. No. John 5:39, they are they that testify of me. And then he goes on to say, and you are not willing to come unto me. All right. The reality is they testify of Christ, not of man. Okay. Going on, Romans 8, this is verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And here the term sin, in all these different verses in this whole passage, is Strong's number 266. We may look at it a little later. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Why so? Because the body of sin is destroyed. The body of sin is put away in the cross, is buried in the cross, never to be seen again. It's buried out of God's sight. It's buried out of the sight of the Father. The question is it buried out of our sight? Well, here we go. How are we going to bury it out of our sight? No. It's not a thing we do. The moment your heart turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed, it is out of your sight. Buried out of your sight. Once again, with the example of Moses. When Moses went up and he was before God, there was no veil. He was face to face. Says in one place God spoke to him face to face. You know, here's Moses. It's a type. Moses is before God face to face. There is no veil. The moment Moses comes down and is before man, the veil is immediately present. That which is put away in the cross must be put away in our hearts. It is only put away in our hearts as we behold him who lives. Until we behold him who lives, we think it is I who continue and me and am in great need of repair and self-improvement. And I've already covered this before. The body of Christ needs no improvement, needs no extreme makeover, needs nothing of that. If our heart, if our affection is thinking along those lines, then we have the wrong house in view. We're beholding the wrong man. Our affection is not above where Christ sitteth, above being Christ himself. Our affection is actually below. Our hearts must turn unto the Lord, that the veil will be removed. In light, everything is seen for what it is. But we're not going to see things. We're going to behold him who lives. We read it in Revelation chapter 1. I am he that liveth. What was the immediate response? John didn't have to work this up. John didn't have to practice. He didn't have to, you know, study any scripture. He didn't have to, you know, get all his ducks in a row. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to listen to the latest teaching or preaching of brother or sister so-and-so. No. Where is it? 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Where it is saying, and I turned to see the voice, and being turned, I saw Verse 17, right before that. And when I saw him, that's the order. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him. Therefore we thus judge. It's even the love of Christ that constrains us to judge thus. That if one died for all are dead. All. Past, present, future. That was the declaration of Egypt. We be dead. We dead. Death hath come to death. The death of death. All right? You don't have to work something up. You don't have to study. You don't have to concentrate. You don't have to run it over your mind several times like counting sheep. You don't have to keep going over the same scenario. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. Jesus is my life, my life, my life. It's not I, not I, not I. I mean, that's just retarded. You don't have to do any of that. All is automatic. Here we go with the word. Automatic. The Christian religion of man will preach automatics and make you try to perform automatics. Life does not do such. Life appears. The light of life appears, and everything is an automatic out of that appearing. And when I saw him, listen, in my heart, John was born again. When I saw him, in my heart, I fell at his feet as dead. And here I am, dead. Here I understand, I am crucified. Just as Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel is here. This vessel of flesh is here. Yet not I, the life of this vessel. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth, period. And he liveth in me. Christ liveth. Here we go. Verse 8. I am he that liveth. Not you. You're dead. I live. And I am your life. Everything else is automatic. And it's no struggle. There's no struggle with the corpse anymore. You drop what's not life. Listen, you drop what is not your life if you are born again. If you are born again, Christ is your life, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it, comprehend it, see it that way or not. Christ is your life. There is no struggle. The struggle is only in ignorance. That's when there's a struggle. When there's darkness, there's a struggle. And you can look at it this way. I mean, we have covered this verse just a little bit. In Genesis, and Jacob wrestled with an angel at night. It was all at night. It was all in darkness. He wrestled, but the darkness, the wrestling was in darkness. And it says, until the day dawned. What am I trying to say? Are we to wrestle with God? No, there is no wrestling. If there's any wrestling, it's the wrestling of our soul because it's restless. It has come to rest, but it is not in understanding come to the rest that it's come to. I'm not sure if that made any sense. We are coming to rest in Christ. Until the heart turns unto the Lord and the veil is removed, we will not experience, know, understand, or realize that rest we are in. Because the rest of God is, it is not I, but other. Jesus was a man of rest. I did not heal that man. The Father in me doeth the works. Jesus is the walking Sabbath. We have come unto the Sabbath in Christ. Christ himself being that Sabbath. All right. So going on with these verses before I'm not going to get far. I'll just keep on going. All right. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. There it is, the death, condemned it, brought it to its judgment, brought it to death, condemned it, brought the judgment upon it, death. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Can't you just hear Colossians chapter 3 in there? They who mind the things of the flesh, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, that, listen to the way I'll translate this, that which is of the Spirit, that which is of the Spirit. I think the verse reads something like, but he hath given us the Spirit that we might know that which has been freely given unto us by the Spirit. That which is of the Spirit. That which is of the Spirit. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you, shall show it unto you. He shall testify of me. Not of things of me. What did Jesus say to Paul when he was Saul, you know, on the road to Damascus? Acts 26:16 from the James Murdoch's translation of the Sirius Peshitta. I have appeared unto thee. I have appeared unto thee. Not things, but I have appeared. And then he goes on to say, I'll constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. This is what you will minister. This is what you are a witness of. You will minister what you have witnessed, okay? You will testify what you have witnessed. This, thy seeing me, because I have appeared unto thee, and thy seeing me hereafter. There's the purpose for the soul, wrapped up, balled up in one verse right there. Thy seeing me hereafter. There must be a hereafter. Okay, there must be a continuation. There must be a, listen, if we walk in the light, walk. And how did Paul describe it to King Agrippa? King Agrippa, it was a light that was beyond the brightness of the noonday sun. A bright light beyond the brightness of the noonday sun. If we walk in the light, a continuation in that very light, a continuation of our hearts turning unto the Lord and the veil being removed. We've covered this already in Genesis in a previous class. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We are being renewed day by day by day. Listen, appearing by appearing by appearing. It's the walk of faith, the walk of life, the walk of the fellowship of the Father and the Son. It is the purpose for the soul. All right, going on. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is death. Why? There is no life outside of Christ. If your heart is, I think Raven covered this in a previous class when he talked about the confines of Christ. If your heart trespasses the confines, is found to be trespassing, there's it's utter darkness. I've said this before, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That's what you find there. That's what you find outside of Christ. There's no life outside of Christ. He is life. Life is found in His person. Life is found in Him and Him only. So to be carnally minded is death. To have some other mind, to have a mind that is set not upon the Lord, but on whatever. Doesn't matter whatever it is. Whatever it can be. Hey, listen to this. It could be set on trying to please God outside of the person of Christ, who is the pleasure of God. It could be set on trying to fix your situation, fix your character. But your heart is not set unto the Lord. As I said, all is automatic in the appearing of Christ. I don't know how else to say it. When there is light, there is wisdom. Wisdom is present. Wisdom is known to be present. When there is light, righteousness is known to be present. When there is light, sanctification is known to be present. Because all these terms that are testifying of Christ are present in the person of Christ Himself, who dwells within the soul of the believer. It is only when the heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed that soul can experience the Christ who is present. Till then, we're like Jacob. You were here this whole time, and I knew it not. I didn't know. I didn't know you to be present. I didn't know this to be Bethel, the house of God. I didn't know. K-N-O-W. There it is. And which we'll see here also in this passage. All right. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded. What does that mean? Does it mean that that I'm thinking about the scriptures? I'm thinking about good things? I'm thinking about what will Jesus do, et cetera, et cetera? No, no, no. It's the mind of the Spirit. To have the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Well, do you not have the mind of the Spirit? If you're born again, you have the mind of the Spirit. The question is, do you know? How do you know? The mind of Christ is present when the heart turns to the Lord. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. Let me say that again. The mind of Christ is known to be present. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge is known to be present when the heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed. You were here this whole time and I knew it not. And I knew it not. Till then, it's my mind. Right? All these things are automatics in the appearing of Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you will find rest for your souls in Matthew. That's what Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, that's what Jesus said. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And I may take this verse out of context, but it's not subject to the law of God that testifies of Christ. It's not subject to that testimony. It has some other object in view other than Christ. And if I took it out of context and made it say something that is not, forgive me, but they are they that testify of me. If we can't pull Jesus out, I don't mean pull Jesus out of it. If we can't see Jesus in every single thing of the Scripture, then we are already taking the Scripture out of context. Okay? If we're using the Scripture to apply it to something of man, or something to better man or anything to that degree, we have already taken the Scripture out of context, for they testify of Christ. All right? Neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. There is the question. Are you born again? If you say no, the Spirit of God is not in you. You have not the Spirit of God. You have not the Spirit of Christ. You must be born again. If you are born again, then, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The question is, know ye not? The big K-N-O-W. No. Know you not that you are not in the flesh? Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Know ye not that you are in the Spirit? Know ye not? How can you know? Once again, back to Luke. When they saw him, they knew him. There's a spiritual order of knowing. To see is to know. If you do not see, you do not know. You can study, you can listen, you can read, you can hear. You can do all these things, but until Christ appears, you do not know. And I've said this, we may get to this verse. Well, it's not a verse, it's a passage in here from one of the commentaries. And we may not, but I've said this. To be ignorant is not a bad thing. But to remain ignorant is not a good thing. It's not a good thing to remain ignorant. Because a shallow, sad example, we in our hearts, in that state, are as ones who are famished before a banquet set immediately before us. And we continue famished. as though we had nothing, no sustenance. And that's just an example. All is present in the person of Christ. The question is, are we knowing Him who is present? Okay, excuse me. Wow, I went from Romans 6 to Romans 8. There you go. There you go. I didn't even know I made that jump. I guess y'all jumped with me. No one told me about it. Okay, back to Romans 6. That's how I got there. All right. Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? All right. I just want us to look at this term. Actually, I want us to look at a couple terms. And I'll read a couple of these. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Verse 3 is, know ye not. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin, justified from sin. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way you can reckon is if you know. The only way you can know is if you see. Not with the natural eye, but with the eye of the soul. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed and that's transformed into that same image from glory to glory. But we all with unveiled face. Unveiled face. I want us to look at Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The phrase, shall we continue, is Strong's number 1961. This caught my attention because I read it in the Spanish translation, and it's actually more accurate in the Spanish translation than in the King James. But shall we continue, is Strong's number 1961. This is Strong's Greek lexicon. It says, that is, remain. Figuratively, persevere. This is the online Bible Greek lexicon. To stay over, that is, remain. Figuratively, that was Strong's. Here's the online Bible Greek lexicon. To persevere, continue. It goes on, denoting the action persisted in. All right? I just looked up the word persisted in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. To continue steadily and firmly in the pursuit of any business or course commenced. Persist frequently implies more obstinacy than persevere, particularly in that which is evil or injurious to others. And then the term persistence in the Webster's 1828, as a noun, is defined as obstinacy, contumacy, C-O-N-T-U-M-A-C-Y, maybe mispronouncing it. So, and I thought, obstinacy, let me look at that word. I like to look at words. This is the Microsoft Word 2000 synonyms for obstinacy. Stubbornness, determination, wrong-headedness. Can't you see this? Wrong-headedness. Pig-headedness. I love that. I mean, pig-headedness. And it's an abomination to God having a pig head. I mean, come on. Where is it found? It's not found in Christ. It's found in the vain imagination of the heart that goes and sets its affection on that which is below, that has been put away, buried out of sight of God, but desires to, in its ignorance, like Abraham, but Lord, let Ishmael walk before you. God says, no. No. He says, take thy son, thine only Isaac. In God's mind, there's one son. There's one life. But Lord, fix this life and let it be before you. I don't recognize that. Be gone with it. Pig-headedness, inflexibility, unreasonableness, not reasonable. Persistence, tenacity. Acts 26, verse 14. This is what Jesus spoke to Paul, Saul at the time. The very first thing that he told him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard for you to resist. It is hard to continue the way you're continuing. It is not good for your soul. It is unhealthy for your soul. It is detrimental unto your soul to continue to insist. Hard to resist, not beneficial, healthy. It's not beneficial, it's not healthy to resist. Shall we insist? Shall we be in stubbornness, continue in sin? Shall we in wrong-headedness continue in sin? Shall we in pig-headedness continue in sin? In inflexibility continue in sin, in unreasonableness, in persistence, in tenacity. This is another thought that I had. A stubborn child. Shall you continue in your stubborn way in something that's not you, in something that's not your life, in something that you're really not a part of, but will you continue to be stubborn? Why? Therefore, the love of Christ constraineth. The love of Christ constraineth us. Therefore, we thus judge that if one died for all were dead. But will you continue stubbornly, persistent, pig-headedness, saying, "No, here he is. Fix him, Lord." As though Jesus is the big handyman in the sky or something. I mean, that's the way we come to him. The Christian religion of man, that's what it is. Lord, fix this. Lord, in true sincerity, those who are born again, many, I of which was one of them, would come, Lord, fix this man, Lord. It's just like Saul praying for, Samuel, the prophet Samuel praying for Saul. Lord, fix this man. Lord, help this man. Lord, what about this man? Take care of this man. Let this man serve you. What does the Lord say? I have rejected him. I have sought me a man after my own heart, whom Saul is not. David, who is a type of Christ. What is the Lord saying in these passages? I have sought my son, who is after my own heart, not anything less than my son. I have rejected everything but my son. I've rejected everything. But we continue, believers continue in pig-headedness. Lord, you must fix this man. Lord, you must fix this house. Lord, you must repair this one. Lord, necromancing, digging up, raising up the dead, bringing death before God, bringing an abomination before the Lord. That's an abomination in the sight of God. It is. We just don't see it as such. We see it as Christianity. The Christian religion of man, that's the way they see it. It's a continual fix-up factory. You know, bring it to Jesus and it'll work. But that's not such. So, anyway, I think I'm just about out of time. Maybe even all out of time. But I'll go ahead and end the class here. It's not about the sin issue. It's about the purpose for which our soul was created and God making a way for the soul to come into purpose. The death of his son, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing less. Nothing less. Nothing less. So, I'll just go ahead and end right there. with his class, and may the Lord bless you guys. Amen.